on the cover. Our heroes are drawn in the style of an 80s action movie poster, their larger-than-life faces floating in front of a neon sunset. In the center is Fundraiser, holding his phone at the ready like a pistol as he searches for an unseen foe. Gustav stares straight ahead, half of his face cast in deep shadow, while glass swirls around Shatter as she looks to one side. Below them, the silhouettes of Pendragon and Nico Ambrosia are shown locked in an intense duel, sword clashing against hammer as a mighty volcano erupts behind them. Wonder World Comics proudly presents Unlikely Encounters, Volume 5, Once and Future Heroes, Issue 2, May the Blade Force Be With You.
Prepare yourself, dear reader, for another gripping tale of adventure, drama, and self-discovery. This is Wonder World Comics.
Our comic opens right where our previous issue left off. Nico Ambrosia, the son of Forgemaster, has just learned that Pendragon is none other than the son of the villain who locked his father in the nightmare dimension. Pendragon, how are you reacting to this?
So if I remember, the very last line was basically, I'm working for your father so I can eventually kill him. And Gage kind of...
He was working for the Weaponsmith. The guy.
The Weaponsmith. Yeah. Oh, so the Weaponsmith's not Sir Sinister. Okay. So, yeah. He probably kind of makes this, like, tired face. He's like, yeah, my dad kind of sucks, but I wouldn't go as far as murder. Because then, do you want to be like a hero, a vigilante, or, you know, just another true crime video? Because that's giving me kind of true crime vibes, and that ain't it, man.
Nico's face contorts with rage as he reaches into a swirling vortex of Blade Force energy and draws a flaming warhammer and swings it directly at you.
Oh, shit!
Fundraiser, how do you react to this situation?
So, I think what Fundraiser is going to do is he's going to cross the distance and... So I have two thoughts on this. Thought one is just roll to defend, because there's an attack coming. Thought two is, we tried comfort and support and that didn't work. So maybe something more like roll to provoke and try to get Nico to sort of realize what's going to happen if he goes through with this action.
So what does Renard do then?
So I think what Renard is going to do...
Does he escalate the situation, or does he try and talk him down?
We're going to go with... I'm going to try to provoke. I want to try... So what I think Renard does is he crosses the distance and, like, puts his hand on Nico's shoulder, right, to catch it and sort of prevent him from swinging.
Mm-hmm.
And then explains to Nico that there are three options on the table right now. One is you try to strike Gage, and it's a 4-on-1 fight again. Two, you can choose now to surrender and ask to be turned over to Farsec. Three, because of your circumstances, and because I'm here, I'm going to allow you to ask for asylum from the UNHRA. So, and then if I do roll to provoke, because that's what I'm assuming I'm doing here.
Nico is, question. Are okay. you still holding Hephaestus's hammer? Because I think
at
you
this point,
had it last.
It was, yeah, I did have it. So, yeah, that would be in one hand, and he's got Nico by the shoulder in the other hand.
Okay, yeah. No, I think Nico's definitely susceptible to your words, for sure. So go ahead and roll plus superior.
Okay, so I've got 6 and a 1 makes 7 on the dice, and... Cheat. Superior is a... it's only a plus 1. So that brings us up to an 8.
Awesome. So, on a hit, they can rise to the bait, or they can instead, on a 7 to 9, they can instead choose 1. They stumble, you take plus 1 forward against them. They err, you gain a critical opportunity, or they overreact, and you gain influence over them. Interesting. So I think Nico is going to, he's going to err. So he's like looking at you and listening intently. And then as you're kind of finishing your spiel, he, you see his eyes kind of dart down to the hammer in your hands, and he like makes a grab for it, just lunges for it. But you kind of saw it coming. And yeah, so he just kind of like flails for this hammer instead of answering your instead of, yeah, deciding which option he would like.
Okay.
So yeah. You guys now have a critical opportunity.
And at this point then he's turned so that he's facing Fundraiser and has his back to, he would then have to have his back the way I was picturing it to Gage, is that right?
Yeah.
Or Pendragon? Sorry, Pendragon at this point.
He's Gage right now.
Oh, he's Gage right now. Okay. Gage.
Alright, so as he turns around, he kind of makes eye contact with Shatter, kind of does that sort of like eyes dart away like, oh man, pretty girl's watching me, and then looks to Gustav and goes, you go low, I go high. And I'm going to try to pull him into a sleeper hold.
Awesome. Absolutely. So yeah, he goes for this dive and you charge in. Gustav, are you helping him out?
So I am, or at least I was, a turtle. And this guy is human. Or at least humanoid, right?
Yes.
Therefore, it is not cannibalism if I... No, I'm kidding. What I'll do is... Gustav is going to sweep the leg. And just very gently tap the back of his knees. Because I don't want to take him out.
You don't want to, like, cripple him for life. Just get him on the ground. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. So then, Gage, why don't you go ahead and roll plus danger to directly engage a threat? And we'll kick things off with the team coming together against a dangerous foe to get some team in the pool. So we start out with one team in the pool at the beginning of the session. We add 2 when we enter combat. So we have 3 team in the pool. Who's the leader of this fight? I think last time we decided it was determined it was Gage. How do we feel now?
I'm still saying Gage because this is still Destiny architecture space. So
excellent.
We're still in his story. I'm going with Gage.
Cool. Shatter.
Well, I don't think she thinks it's her or Gustav. I think she could see it being either Gage or Fundraiser.
Cool.
That's kind of a non-answer, but...
Yeah, I appreciate it, though. Gustav, how about yourself?
Cool. I believe Gage is on the clock right now, so...
Yeah.
It's his show.
That makes sense, yeah. And yeah, that. Cool. Gage, do you have influence over everyone on the team?
Unless Shatter's the whole team, no.
Maybe she is to you. If
she's my everyone... Roman Empire.
Oh.
What is Gage's purpose in this fight?
I would say to
like now safely, that yeah. now that Nico's been given an opportunity and then like thrown it away, I guess.
I would say to safely put him into custody.
Awesome. Does anyone else feel differently?
I'm gonna say that Fundraiser is all about putting him safely in custody, so long as that custody is the UNHRA and not anybody else. So I'm going to go yes and on that.
Cool. How about Gustav and Chatter?
Yeah, putting him in custody seems like the upstanding citizen thing to do.
Cool.
Yeah, sounds about right, yeah.
Awesome. So we are up to 4 team. Does anyone on the team mistrust Gage or anyone else on the team?
Not on my end.
Cool. Now that I know that Gustav is with Shatter, he trusts him.
Awesome.
At this point, Fundraiser trusts everyone on the team.
Cool. Awesome. Cool. So we don't remove a team for that. And then I don't think you guys are ill-prepared or off-balance, seeing as you are kind of starting with the upper hand right now. Cool. So I think that's a total of 4 team in the pool as Gage directly engages this threat.
And I got a 7.
Boom. Okay. Gustav, you are already very easily lending a hand if you guys would like to spend a team to get that up to a full success, or a 7 is also a hit.
I will also say, because he doesn't have influence over me, I have that extra option, so I would still have 2 choices.
Excellent. Cool.
So we would need to spend 3 of our 4 team to make this one move a full success. Is that right?
Yeah. It's sounding like a 7-9 is probably okay.
Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Unless there are no objections, Gustav will gladly throw that last point in.
I mean, you can also absolutely help and not have to spend a team.
Yeah, because on a 7...
We're just going to leave it as 7-9.
Yeah.
Cool, so you get to pick 1+1 from the directly engage a threat list?
Yep.
Awesome. So, resist or avoid their blows. Take something from them. Create an opportunity for your allies or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
All right, so I'm going to resist his blows this time because I'm sick of getting attacked by Nico.
Nice.
And then I'm going to create an opportunity because... With the sleep, I'll put him into a sit-down sleeper hold, which, for description, basically I have one arm around his neck and the other arm around his forehead.
Awesome. Yeah. And, absolutely. So you grab him and kind of drag him to the ground, and they've got him in this sleeper hold, and he, like, before he passes out, he finally just kind of stops struggling.
Guys, should I let go? I don't know how morally ethical this is at this point.
Shatter, right at this time, you, your phone chimes, with a text message from Joe S.
I'm gonna look at it. I know we're kind of in the middle of a thing, but I'm also not helping that much anyway, and not really sure what to do with myself, so cool. I will check my phone.
Cool. What is everyone else doing in answer to Gage's question? Well, we'll just check their phone.
I think Fundraiser, still having sort of kept his hand on Nico's shoulder as he's lowered down, just sort of gives him lifts his hand up, gives him the thumbs up that it's okay to let go, and then kind of helps to cradle Nico like gently down. Like, I'm assuming we're going to lay him down after that, and checks to make sure he's breathing okay and he's okay.
Cool. And yeah, Nico is alive and conscious and just kind of lays down flat on the ground and is just kind of, he's conscious, but he's not really moving. He's kind of given up at this point. Lilith, your text message reads, get the sample quickly. Word is Weaponsmith is making a move to lock down his source permanently.
You kind of hear her whisper, like, how does he even know these things? As she pockets her phone. And would she even know who Weaponsmith is?
You might. He's a kind of a newer face on the black market weapons dealing front, but he is the primary source of these kid killing magic rounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I think she's just going to kind of like, as she's pocketing her phone, address the rest of the room and be like, hey, so like, I think the guy who was making him do all this is like on his way, and that sounds like bad news.
Oh, yeah. Probably, because if we take down the Patsy and shit, so do we book it or confront him?
I think at this point, though, having first heard the phone go off, which was surprising considering depth and location.
Amazing coverage.
Yeah. Got to find out who that cell plan is through. Fundraiser is going to look at Shatter and go, so you just got a call, or sorry, a text, because it's the future, from your informant, your handler, or someone else you're working with?
I think she got a text from her phone.
Good point.
His name is Joe.
He's not like a high school age or anything, right?
No, he's not.
Oh, cool.
Fundraiser struggles to keep his eye on Shatter because he really wants to turn and just shake his head at Gage, but on mission, keeps both eyes locked on Shatter with a hand on Nico's chest just to make sure he doesn't get any ideas about squirming away during this conversation.
Is Nico showing signs of stirring in his sugar plum dreams, or is he out down for the count?
He is conscious and awake. But he looks like he is pretty much given up at this point.
Gotcha.
How do you respond to Fundraiser's question? Shatter.
Sorry, what did he ask?
So, in response to the person who just texted, the question was, essentially, was that, like, informant?
Oh, no, no, no. The answer is, it's Joe.
Oh.
In her mind, she answered that question. I can see how that would not be a satisfactory answer to, to Fundraiser, but it's Joe.
This, I'm going to say, has further escalated Fundraiser's suspicion, concerns, apprehensions about Shatter.
Dude, it's okay. She's cool. I met her at a convention. She's chill.
Having met someone at Comic-Con doesn't mean that they're okay or that they're chill.
What's no, Comic-Con?
It's a convention. Much oh. like the one that we met at.
I think at this point, Fundraiser looks at Gustav and goes, "Do you know what convention they were at? Were you there?"
I'm not a nerd.
What does Nico's workspace look like? We know he has a work table of some sort. He had his fancy dancy hammer. So yep. Does he have any raw materials about? Did it seem like he was just striking his work table and upon lifting this hammer of might and magic, perhaps a bullet sitting in the impact strike zone?
He has like a there's like a pallet of what looks like these smelted bars of this whatever this antimony alloy is that he's making these rounds from, and then he will strike the ingot with his hammer and it will instantly fabricate.
Okay.
I'm
gonna pick one up.
Fundraiser, you also get a message from your handler at this point.
You guys are being handled.
It just says, complications incoming. Secure sample and exfil immediately.
Okay, let's say that goes across the visor, and so he's able to read that. Fundraiser's going to look at Shatter and go, how did you and Gustav get down here?
How far are they from, like, the entrance to the mouth of this cave?
It's kind of around a corner.
I don't know that she has a great plan to articulate how she got down here, so I think she's just going to kind of point off in that direction and say, giant straw.
Can giant straw accommodate? There are five of us. Five people.
I don't think I'll fit.
Okay. Can giant straw accommodate three people?
Did you just call me fat?
No, I assumed that meant you were swimming.
Because I'm sitting here taking three away from five, and,
I can swim as well. I'm assuming you can swim, so that's two from five to get three.
I, like, actually could have made the straw big enough for all five of us, but three works too.
Wait, you just said three, why is it two now?
Okay, you can make it big enough for five.
Yeah, you like if message. I have enough glass.
You got a message saying a threat is incoming. I got a message just now saying a threat is incoming. We should leave. Can you help us leave?
Yeah. I do think that, like, if we're in the middle of the glass straw when the threat gets here, that might be, like, a problem because it's, like, super noticeable and we'd be, like, underwater in a glass tube.
Okay.
Just food for thought.
So, you can swim. How fast can you swim?
I can get to the surface from here in about 4 minutes if I have to.
If we propelled that straw in a zigzag pattern slightly north-northeast of this current location, and then double back, perhaps. Do you think that'll throw him off? As long as we're able to get visual on him?
If we do that at this depth, that fast, it might get messy in the straw. Because they might squish into each other.
I mean, if that's a concern, I'm not too concerned about that.
Perv.
What if Gustav and I are on the outside of the straw, and you three are inside the straw, and then if anything comes, Gustav and I engage while you all get to the surface?
I think it might be a little late for that.
Not crap.
Wings out from the shadows.
Why do they always do that?
As this mysterious figure stalks forward, says, must say, the glass straw really was quite accommodating. And you see they're in a long black duster with a helmet that completely covers their face and is on fire.
Looks to Gage and goes, again, still, Destiny, you're in charge. What do we do?
Hey, Merlin, if there is any time you could give me words of advice, I'd like that right now. And I'm going to use my Words of the Past ability.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Merlin will answer. Honestly, tell me what to do. I'll take a plus one ongoing if I listen, or I mark a potential if I decide to do my own thing.
Awesome.
It's free.
Let's see. Merlin is floating near the mysterious figure.
Architect, antimony metal upon him. He probably has some sort of weapon capable of harming you. If he does, you will lose access to your powers. And also, you know, maybe die.
Dude, I only have limited access. It's just like pauses before real, it's like saying the whole thing out loud. It's fine.
I do detect his helmet is giving off quite a large amount of interference. If you were able to remove it, might be able to weaken him.
All right. Well, guess it's time to suit up. By the power of Camelot, I summon thee, Excalibur! He points the blade towards the man and goes, Hellion, you come here underwater with a head of flame? The only thing that indicates is that evil is amok and strange magics are about you. I do not like it when those bend physics. Oh, you shall face justice instead.
On the floor, Nico facepalms himself.
Mirroring that, Fundraiser does the same.
Funny thing about justice. The truth is whatever I choose to make it.
Now that is what I call corruption.
It's just good business. Think if I'm able to fabricate a video that shows Nico shooting Neptune, I can't do the same for you.
That's preposterous. I don't wield firearms.
Listen, no hard feelings. But my associates and I are ready to take the business to the next level. Got a contact who's ready to conduct some experiments to mass reproduce the antimony metal on an industrial scale. I don't need you anymore, kid. And
on the contrary, the feelings are quite hard. Hard with the hardened steel. That is righteousness.
How's Fundraiser reacting to all of this?
He's shifted from positioning his body sort of hunched but alert over Nico to, at this point, kind of pushing him in the direction of the anvil, with hopefully the intention, without saying it out loud, because not everything has to be said out loud, that he understands to go, like, hide behind or use the anvil for shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of the, like, nonverbal he's trying to get across to Nico.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nico is up off the floor now and is looking very scared and moving backwards slowly towards the anvil.
And then Fundraiser will just shift to sort of keep himself between this threat and Nico, just, you know, just so there's no direct, like, line of sight or attack.
Here's the deal, kids, Weaponsmith says as he reaches inside of his wonk jacket. You leave, go home, no one has to die. As he draws a gigantic, looks like a 50 caliber revolver from within his coat. And you can see that each of the rounds within the chambers are glowing with the bluish-green light.
You got a villain straight up here ready to shoot some kids. What if this was the gun that the Midnighters had for the Darkest Timeline?
It could be.
In response, Pendra can go, "Ah, well, you see that. I am no mere child. I am the children of the past. I am the children of the future. And I am the righteous fury that will stop you in your tracks to make sure that your evil bullets do not reach the mass of production."
Weaponsmith glances to from Pendragon and Fundraiser over to Gustav and Shatter and says, "Anyone else want to die?"
Is that anvil, like, secured to the floor, or is it just sitting on it?
It is secured to the floor by its immense weight. Okay. But, yeah, so I guess technically it's just sitting on it, but...
Gotcha. How hefty does it look?
Quite. It is, just a massive block, an unknown metal that has kind of swirls of the glowing green-blue...
Okay.
...energy through it.
How far away is our hot-headed friend from this anvil?
He's on the other side of the room. Or, like, yeah, across the room.
Okay. And the floor that we're standing on inside this, this underwater cave, what is this floor made of?
It is made of, carved stone. It's kind of, yeah, been fashioned into this ancient temple that the Thalassians built.
Single slab or multiple tiles that have been
laid? Intricately carved.
Okay. So it could go either way then. It could be one giant slab carved all way awesomely. It could be multiple heavily worked tiles that fit together to make it look like one solid piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shoot. I guess the only thing I can do then is fling this bar that I have in my hand towards his head, and then charge him.
Excellent. Wonderful. Well, that sounds like a directly engage a threat to me.
I believe that could count. First roll of the night.
Go ahead and give us that roll plus danger.
Let's see. That is going to be a 5 plus 2 plus a minus 1.
Ooh. For
a 6 total.
All right.
As I fling it at his head and then charge his kneecaps.
All right, there is 4 team in the pool.
I'll use a team.
All right, how are you helping out?
I'm going to take a little ball of glass and explode it right in front of his face, which is fairly distracting when there's shards of glass kind of flying right in front of your face, usually for most people.
Yes, indeed. Awesome. That brings us up to a 7. So, Gustav, you trade blows with the weaponsmith and get to pick one. Resist or avoid their blows. Take something from them. Create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
Hmm. Oh, man. There are some really, really good things on that list.
There's some juicy ones.
Mm-hmm.
Gustav got a gun.
I'm going to take this hothead's firearm. His head's on. Never mind.
All right. So you are not going to resist blows.
Nope.
Okay. So as Gustav charges forward, you grapple with the weaponsmith. And as you wrench from the gun from his hand, there is a tremendous bang as the gun goes off. So you have been hit with cape killer rounds.
Yes.
So roll to take a powerful blow. But there are different results.
That is going to be a 5 plus a 3 for an 8 total.
Ooh. On a 7 to 9, you choose one from the following list. You must remove yourself from the situation, flee, pass out, etc. You lose control of your powers in a terrible way, or access to your powers has been damaged, and you take minus 2 ongoing until you can get your wound treated to, like, unleash your powers or use them.
Those are some very fun choices as well. I'll take a minus 2 ongoing. Would that label, is that going to sit on my conditions, or is that just whatever I roll? That's going to be a minus 2 on top of any other modifiers.
Yeah. As you were shot with this, your shell absorbs most of the kinetic energy, but this wave of just magic washes over you, and you feel like, yeah, your strength is sapped, and just like, you feel just, yeah, weakened and exhausted. And yeah, it's like anytime you, yeah, would roll to use your powers, you have minus 2 to that roll in addition to anything else. So there is a loud bang, and Gustav goes flying backward, the gun clutched in his hand. A smoldering, hole in his kind of chest armor.
Carapace. I don't think it's a scoot, technically.
How does everyone react?
So they're now arguably a civilian and an injured among our party, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So at this point, Fundraiser is shifting focus to strategic exit. And so to achieve that, he's going to look at Weaponsmith, and still having the hammer of Hephaestus in his hand, is going to look at him and go, holding the hammer in both of his hands, look at him and go, you mentioned that you believe that you have a way of producing more of these rounds, but you don't know for sure. The only thing you know for sure is that to produce them, you need this hammer. If we do not leave now, and you don't try to stop us, I will break this hammer.
Kid, you can go right ahead.
Okay.
You dastard! You've wounded Sir Terrapin the Armored! You'll pay for this!
While he's having that conversation, I'm swinging for the helmet.
Awesome. Heck yeah. Go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat.
All right, and as he's indeed an adult, I believe he has influence over me, so that will not affect things. So to do, and that is another 7.
Ooh, awesome, awesome. Just sneaking in there. Cool. Yeah, so you get to choose 1 plus 1 from the following
not
list.
Not plus 1 because he's an adult.
Oh, yep, correct. Cool. So, yeah, 1 from the direct linkage of threat list after when you trade blows.
So I'm going to do Echoes of Turtle Past and also choose to take something from him. In this case, I'm choosing to take his helmet with my blade.
Great minds think like me.
Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. He is no longer has his gun, so you will not get hit with cape killer rounds. But he is an incredibly skilled martial artist and is able, you two kind of get locked in this like intense martial combat as he's avoiding your strikes and like getting like kicks in. And then you finally just land a cleaving blow that smashes his helmet and it falls to the floor. So I will have you take a powerful blow from one Mr. Cecil Ward.
All right.
Who, Renard, you recognize as the helmet falls off of him.
Oh. This is not where I thought things were going. Okay, so that is a 7.
Okay. Cool. So you only have to pick one from, it's somewhere in here. I've done this a lot, I swear.
Also, do I win the lottery because I got 3 sevens in a row?
I think you have to, yeah.
Sweet.
It's like, yeah, basically required. Oh, here we go. On a 7 to 9, choose one. You lash out verbally, provoke a teammate to foolhardy action, or take advantage of your influence to inflict a condition. Give ground. Your opposition gets an opportunity. Or struggle past the pain and mark two conditions.
I am going to give the opposition an opportunity. Because he swings, gets the helmet, and it's that like moment of, hey, Merlin, I did it. And then it's like, oh, wait, I have to refocus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And the weaponsmith just begins to lose his, like, completely lose his shit. Just starts, like, screaming and saying that he'll like, throw every one of you, he'll have every one of you thrown in prison, and that he controls the media and the public opinion. And then he, like, turns to you, Renard, and says, like, and this is, Renard! Renard! I'm ordering you to take them out!
So, recognizing Cecil, Renard is going to, like, leap backward, seemingly in shock and surprise, putting him by, like, behind the anvil.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to, there was a pile of the finished Excalibur rounds over by the anvil, right?
Correct.
Okay, so he's going to reach down, pick one of them up, put it so that the tip of the bullet is on the anvil, and then raise the hammer to strike. And look at Cecil and go, Cecil, you've been a terrible handler. I know, I've had good ones. The PR that you're claiming to be capable of, we both know is done by other people. And again, I'm going to tell you that your best option is to let us all leave, or now I will start destroying this place and everything in it.
He is, almost literally frothing at the mouth. How's everyone else reacting to all of this?
Lilith is kind of kneeling next to Gustav, trying to kind of help him up, and whispering, do you think you'd feel better if you ate some of that corn dog? It's not even wet.
I think I'd feel better if I shot him in the dick. Oh yeah, my corn dog.
Gifted with super hearing, fundraiser does, without keeping his eyes locked on Cecil, does sort of shout over to Gustav, good idea,
It's a good idea indeed.
Gustav starts eating his corn dog.
Cecil starts slowly backing up. Says, you're making a huge mistake, kid. I'll ruin your whole career.
No, you won't. I'm more popular than you are. I'm better known than you are. And we both know that both Jamie and Natasha like me a lot more than they like you.
Cecil is going to snatch the bar of antimony off the ground that Gustav chucked at him and make a break for the exit.
Lilith is going to try and trap him in a glass ball.
Amazing.
At the same time, Pendragon now just registers a way he's running, and he's going to be charge tackling him at the same time.
Wonderful. Lilith, why don't you roll to unleash your powers?
That's a 10.
Heck yeah! Boom! On a 10 plus, you do it. Where are you pulling all this glass from? I guess is are you like pulling it from your tube? Is there beach glass?
I think kind of a combination. I think she's kind of been collecting glass like from her environment. I think just always has some on her.
There's a bunch of like stained glass in the Thalassian temple.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
I use that.
So you pull the stained glass from some of like the walls and like recreate the images, but as a wall in front of Cecil, see like the exit. And then as he like slams into it in shock, he is immediately hit in the spine by Pendragon, who tackles him to the ground.
Foul fiend! You have the right to remain silent. Now, I believe Sir Populus, the celebrity here, has something to say to you, given your prior relationships. You dastardly villain.
Cecil, since you're surrendering, I'm prepared to ensure, or help to ensure, that you're turned over to our people, and not to Farsec or the local police. This option's on the table, as long as you agree to surrender.
Fine.
Good. Do you have any other weapons on you?
He does not.
Looks at Shatter. Can you create some kind of bindings or restraints? It's okay if they're a little sharp around the edges, just to sort of minimize how much he can use his hands and move.
She's gonna kind of just like snap her fingers, and you see the glass, like some of the glass from the wall, form like little shackles.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And given the amount of glass that's still around, are you now able to build something big enough for six of us to safely get to the surface?
Yeah, and like some of it's going to be really pretty because the stained glass is super cool.
Well, aesthetics are important, so I do appreciate that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm very curious to what kind of art you create.
It's glass.
True. Very true.
Awesome. What does this construct look like that you make, Lilith, to transport everyone to the surface? Or is it just an extension of your existing straw?
Well, we've got to widen it, I think, is mostly what it is. And I think what that entails, since she now has all this stained glass at her disposal, is that she is just kind of making the one she has bigger, but you see just like these kind of colors streaking up through the other glass she used to originally create it. So it's kind of this nice, like, there are like streaks of color going through it.
Beautiful. It's so cool. So yeah, as you guys are riding up in kind of this glass elevator that's expanding in a kaleidoscope of color above you, a figure swims out of the dark water and kind of floats next to the glass and rises with you. It's a humanoid figure, feminine. She has like a high collar of fins around her shoulders and large luminescent eyes that seem to pierce into your soul. And her her waist kind of instead of like a human legs, it kind of transforms into a long tail, has like just a ton of like those big like almost like koi fish fins that are just like long and flowy. Yeah, she sits in the water and looks at the five of you and nods graciously. And Pendragon, Merlin speaks to you. So,
Ninian, she's grateful for the help you offered here today, lad. So am I. You've done well.
At this point, Pendragon kind of throws up this salute to the Thalassian as he fades back into Gage. Goes,
dude, that was epic.
Indeed. I'm still learning this new slang you are discovering, but according to what I do know, this would qualify as epic.
No cap.
For real, for real.
The priestess Ninian has one more request. She asks that you do what you can to protect this place, preserve this sanctuary from further harm and development.
Yo, are you guys thinking what I'm thinking? Every great superhero has their own home base.
I think with, you know, supporting and sort of passively restraining Nico with one hand and firmly having a grip on Cecil with the other hand, Fundraiser just kind of looks over at Gage and kind of just shakes his head. How are you planning on getting into and out of your secret base?
Does your company have, like, teleportation technology?
At that, he just turns back to facing the other two and tightens his grip on Cecil a little bit, like a stress ball, and just sort of, again, kind of keeps Nico just propped, kind of leaning against him just because, you know, he's been through a day, a week, probably even a month at this point, and is just sort of keeping assessing him, keeping an eye on Cecil, and wondering how much longer till they can get to the surface.
Cool. You guys are basically reached the surface at this point. Nico is exhausted and isn't doing much except glaring at Gage. You, as you arrive back on shore, UNHRA agents are waiting there to take Cecil into custody. And Natasha Hart herself is there as well, waiting for you, Fundraiser.
As they all approach, Fundraiser does the thing where he kind of hand firmly on Cecil's shoulders, pushes him down so that he's like kneeling on the shore in front of them, And then, again, not in a threatening way, but in a secure way, keeps a grasp on Nico. And sort of in a presenting sort of fashion to Commander Hart as she approaches.
Before she's able to get to us, Gustav is going to hop off and pop back underneath the waves, start swimming towards the lighthouse.
Natasha approaches you and says, you did good work here today, fundraiser. We've had our suspicions about Cecil for some time. Don't worry, his other assignments will be looked into. And Undersecretary Jamie Cavalier himself will ensure that the antimony samples are properly secured and taken into custody. There will be a press conference tomorrow, and we'd like you to make a statement, and we'll have some notes for you in the morning.
I need to speak with the PR team about the speech. There's some... And I also need to brief you and the extraction team about the situation underwater and some of the potential hazards that are down there. Otherwise, I'll be ready for the press conference tomorrow, ma'am.
Thank you. I'll arrange a debriefing.
Thank you.
Nico is looking very uncomfortable and trying to kind of like shoulder his way out of your grip as people with handcuffs are approaching.
Turning to Nico, I'm going to, our fundraiser is going to say to him, do you remember the third option I presented you before the second fight?
Nico glowers up at you, and nods sullenly.
This would be the time, and points to Commander Hart. And that would be the person that you want to ask for asylum from. Given, I think we both agree, that's your best option right now.
Nico kind of pauses and looks over toward Gage with just like this spiteful look on his face. Before he finally just kind of lets out this huge sigh, says, fine.
Hey, man. Just think about it. You ate my dad. I ate my dad. Maybe once sense returns and we get a little bit less murdery, we can work together sometime.
And Nico kind of cracks a smile at that and says, you know what? I might just take you up on that.
Sweet. And maybe you could... Kind of leans in closer. Maybe teach me how to, like, draw upon the blade force for, like, other stuff. Because I can't do that yet.
Oh, the hammers? Yeah, dude, I don't know. My dad taught me.
Oh, God. All right, yep. Maybe I'll find, like, a video online or something. I don't know. At that point, he steps back.
Nico says, See you later, I guess, Pendragon. Then grins and turns to leave. What is Shadow doing in all of the UNHRA commotion?
I think she's just kind of watching, observing. She is prepared to leave if anyone gets too, like, bothersome. Like, I don't think she really wants to give a statement or anything, but she's fine just kind of hanging out and watching for now.
Cool.
And I think, is it just kind of her engaged now, like in the immediate?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so I think she does want to, like, have a more normal interaction than they've had the chance to have to this point. So I think she's going to strike up a conversation by saying, can I just, your hair is like so big when you're in suit. I'm just like, is that product that you're using, or is that like magic, or like what's going on there?
Oh, yeah, it's magic. I can't really control it, and I know I say really stupid stuff when I'm Pendragon, so I'm really sorry you had to witness that.
I think she's interpreting that as being called a fair maiden was the stupid thing. None of the rest of it was all normal, but that was like the thing that he would not normally say. That's what she's thinking right now. But she's just going to say, like, oh yeah, magic, that makes sense. I'll have to ask Joe about that. Not like he'd help me with my hair anyway, but like I kinda wanna know.
Oh, your hair's looking awesome. Like, it's all dyed and cool. Like, I didn't think you'd like take my coupon and stuff to, but you're looking like really great.
Why would you want her hair to look pretentious like yours?
Shut up, Merlin. I'm having a moment.
And I think you guys, and this rarely happens in Wonder World comics, so you guys can tell me, but it sounds like you might be like celebrating a victory.
I would like to add that Fundraiser, hearing this whole conversation, did word for word repeat it back to Commander Hart as they're standing, which should be far enough away not to hear it, but because he can, he's been telling her the entire conversation he's heard. And they're both riveted by teen drama.
But yeah, I'd say Pendragon celebrating a victory.
Awesome! What does that look like for the Scion?
Alright. So when you share a triumphant celebration with someone, ask them if you've earned their respect. If you have, take influence over them and mark potential. If you've not, give them influence over you and mark potential. So I guess you would follow up then, where it's like, I know I was like kind of powerless and stuff when you last met me, but like, was it at least cool? Like fighting?
Oh my gosh, you were so cool fighting, but also you were like the coolest person at that conference, just for the record. I mean, I know that's like kind of a low bar because there were not very many cool people there, but like, you were the coolest person I talked to.
That point, like, his already pale skin is now like flush red, and then
he's like, oh, yeah, thanks, you're also very, very cool, and your glass powers were so freaking amazing, and I don't think we could have done it without it, especially, you know, hey, you know, maybe I can't really get to my home base because I kind of rented the scuba gear, but what if we made, like, if your glass sticks, we could make, like a glass tunnel to get there, and it's all secret and stuff, and you'll be, like, the first to get my password to enter.
She's going to kind of like,
Lancelot.
What was that?
Smooth, Lancelot.
She's going to...
Interestingly...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, interesting, I think it would be very funny in the panel as Merlin says that, Fundraiser and Natasha also say the same thing. It's just three panels of smooth Lancelot.
Merlin's spirit is actually, like, floating over near the two of them.
Lilith is going to kind of, like, clap a hand on his shoulder and say, I, like, don't know that that's, like, actually a great way to travel. Like, it just seems a little unsafe, if I'm being totally honest. I think you need to, like, let the underground cave go. And, like, I don't know, maybe less time on the beach, because your face is looking really red, and I'm thinking maybe you're getting too much sun out here.
Thanks.
Have you, like, put on sunscreen? Because, like, it's no joke. Like, you gotta take care of your skin, you know?
Yeah, skin cancer, the real cape killer.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's anything else, I think we're just gonna get kind of a slow zoom out and fade out of your conversation on the beach.
If it's okay with the GM, I kind of like the implication that Lilith follows up on this, like, little side quest she's had and delivers a bullet to Joe Science, but, like, I'm fine with that being off panel too. Obligation accordingly.
No, yeah, perfect. So yeah, we'll kind of fade out from the beach and have, like, a little interstitial panel of you dropping off the magic bullet at Joe Science's. And then we turn the page and it's the next morning. And Fundraiser, you are looking over the notes that you've been given by the UNHRA about the speech you are about to give. And maybe feeling a little nervous. It's mostly UNHRA distancing themselves from Cecil and downplaying the exposure, saying he was working alone, and that all the cape killing rounds were accounted for. You are under no circumstances allowed to mention Gustav or Shatter or any unregistered heroes. And again, are to emphasize that this was a kind of a lone person working outside of the law that UNHRA was very, very distant from.
So this scene is going to be back in his apartment, or are we, like, in the green room getting ready to go up on a stage?
I think we're in the green room.
Okay. So he's essentially off stage reading over the notes, the gist of which are that a villain with ties to the international black market has been identified and apprehended, and there is evidence linking that person to the recent attack on the hero Neptune, and that person will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Have I got that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So yep. He's going over that, like, over and over in his head, pacing around, doing that thing where, like, you're reaching up to bust with your hair and then realizing that the hair and makeup people have done his hair, so he doesn't want to do that. So that's sort of, like, stop motion where you, like, want to, like, mm-hmm. run your hands bare, but you just keep, like, freezing and staring at your hand and bringing it down and pacing back and forth and trying to be, like, all the things that he's not supposed to say
and are all the things
going through his head. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
And this entire time, like this, the whole morning, your phone has been blowing up ever since it got out that you that something went down underwater at the bay and you were there. Your fans have been demanding to know what happened and what actually went down and the truth. That's what they want to know. It's what really happened.
Hmm. So I think he's listening to, I think the phone's on the, like, on the table near him, and he's, while pacing back and forth, trying to remember all the right words to say and all the wrong words that he's not supposed to say, hearing the chime and glancing over at the phone and reading through the messages, again, varying degrees of request, demand for truth being seen, and kind of half wondering why the PR department isn't already more on top of this. I think there's also a few times where, again, there's that motion of, like, reaching out for the phone, getting almost all the way there, and then, like, catching himself, staring at his hand, and, like, drawing it back. And so it's, like, this alternation between pacing, can't fuss with my hair, can't touch my phone, pacing, can't fuss with my hair, can't touch my phone. For probably, like, I could see that being, like, a few, like, almost like a full page of, like, small panels of just, like, those three scenes alternating, mm-hmm. and then a little clock that's, like, 2 seconds have gone by, you know what I mean? Like, in a ridiculous amount, like, this ridiculous short amount of time has gone by, and it's just him being, like, you know, can somebody just come get me so I can do this? But then I do think he actually does start, like, picking up his phone, and more like in a controlled way, like scrolling up and scrolling down and reading, like more specifically, like what's being said. He finally gives in to the phone because he doesn't want to deal with hair and makeup again.
I feel like you have like one text that's from Gage that says Caravan James when.
That I do think he will gratefully respond to and just say, it's, what'd you say, it was morning now?
Mm-hmm.
So, probably be off, like, to say, like, afternoon, maybe 4, would just be the return text.
You'll probably receive a ramen emoji and nothing else.
At this point, one of the assistants comes in and says, all right, you're on in 30 seconds. Just a reminder, the mayor wanted to emphasize that you're, you know, a hero working within the law, working with the law, and that the system works. Again, no mention of any of those other, unregistered vigilante terrorists that you would work with. And she kind of, with that, she kind of shoos you out onto the stage where there's a podium and a microphone.
I think just before going on stage, fundraiser does turn and very graciously does say, thank you for the hospitality. Everything was set up in the green room. It was very nice. And then proceeds to walk on stage, and as he does, triggers the effect on his costume so that it shimmers and changes into like the more official UNHRA like flag color pattern, you know what I mean, like that mm-hmm. color mm-hmm. pattern is, as he's walking on stage to the podium and the whole audience can see, like it shimmers and changes so that it's constantly shifting with each of his motions, so that like as he's getting pictures taken, it's always in, you know, like basically every picture is going to turn out right.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole video is going to be very like smooth, and look, you know, absolutely seamless as he's moving and like steps up to the podium.
And the audience is eating it up. They love it.
Mm-hmm. ladies and gentlemen of the press, thank you for coming out. I understand that you have questions and concerns about the events that happened yesterday, both at and under the pier. Let me start by addressing the most important issue. The situation has been resolved safely, and there is no present danger to the city. Now, I know that's not going to be enough for you. You're going to want some details. So I'm going to tell you everything I know. Yesterday, I was part of an operation that went under the bay, and there encountered, engaged, and apprehended a villain with ties to the black market. While after having apprehended and escorted said villain back to the surface, a UNHRA team, along with local law enforcement, did proceed down and secure dangerous weapons related to and directly responsible for the attack on this city's hero, Neptune.
And there's a applause from the audience.
As you're aware, the HRA presence in your city is growing and will continue to grow. And I want everyone to understand that this operation is the first of many and many successful operations that will aid this city's heroes in the defense and protection of this city.
And one of the reporters shouts out, Fundraiser, is it true that the perpetrator was secretly an agent of the UNHRA?
The only thing I know for sure at this point is that we have identified that the perpetrator does have ties to the international arms black market. As far as their direct relationship to the UNHRA, at this point, I'm not aware of a direct relationship to the UNHRA.
Wow. And, Mr. Fundraiser, what about reports that there were other young heroes on the scene helping you? What can you tell us about that?
As you know, this city does have a number of unlicensed and unregistered heroes that operate within it. During the encounter, engagement, and apprehension of this villain, currently addressing himself as Weaponsmith, there were no vigilantes who directly aided in the capture of the villain. Other questions?
Do you support the actions of these vigilantes?
I am aware that there are young people like myself who have powers and who are currently experimenting and learning how best to use those powers. Having not had an opportunity to engage with any of them yet, I don't have an opinion on their motives or actions. I need more information.
Awesome. And I think I might have you make a roll for your audience move.
Okay. Do I get a modifier on that, or am I just...
And I think, I mean, it sounds like you were mostly staying on message. So I think
soldier,
you would roll plus soldier. Yes.
Oh, good. That's a plus two. looking at my stats here going, let's see here. I don't want to, at this point, I'm still best at soldier. I need some friends to shift those labels for me. so that means I just have to make some friends. All right. So what do we got? Oh, this looks good. This looks good. We've got a six, a two. And a two to make 10.
Amazing. Awesome. So yeah, this is based on the audience move from the Star Playbook. Since you were staying on the message of the UNHRA, you get to roll plus soldier. So on a hit, your audience hears you. Generally, the reception from your speech is very positive. people, it was very, like, politique. Like, your handlers were very happy with what you said. The mayor is a little kerfuffled, but he'll get over it. But also, the heroes and young people who heard you, you know, didn't hear condemnation and also really identified with that.
I slipped in the word vigilante. He's fine. the mayor got the word vigilante. That's what he wanted. So he's fine.
Yeah. And I think as a result of this, like your audience is, since it's so positive and just because of the way you presented yourself, I think they now are going to be shifting your labels with their reaction. And they are going to be, despite you like staying on message and, you know, being very within kind of the book, they still saw someone who was, like a hero who's taking action and saving the city and also, you know, trying to, not stick up for the young people of the city, at least not condemn them. So I think they are trying to raise your savior and lower your soldier.
Well, that brings my savior up to a +3 and still leaves me a +1 in soldier. So I'm going to go ahead and accept that, awesome. That label change.
Awesome. Yeah. And we kind of get a series of panels of like the positive online response to this and people's reactions to the speech. We get a few panels of Gage and Renard together eating Robin at the Caravan James. And then at the very bottom of the page in the last panel, we see Joe Science looking, analyzing the single antimony shell that he was given under a microscope. And just he just has the biggest, widest grin across his face. And I think that's the end of our comic. Today's episode features special guests, Fundraiser and Pendragon. Fundraiser is played by Ryan Astheimer. Ryan can be found on social media at Evitable Fate on Twitter, Insta, and Blue Sky. Pendragon is played by Zev Shames, who can be found on Twitter at ZevNation. Zev is the author of Warpdrive Wanderers, the incredible space western powered by the apocalypse RPG, now available on Kickstarter.
Wonderworld Comics is an actual play podcast of Masks, A New Generation by Brendan Conway. This issue was GM'd by Michael Dunham, who can be found on Twitter at GalvanicMan. Shatter is played by Kyra Nelson, who can be found on her Twitter at Kyra M. Nelson. Agatha Hazlitt and Gustav the Armored are played by Sawyer A. Wonderworld Comics is produced by Michael Dunham, and it is edited by Michael Dunham and Kaylee Newberry. The music is from Dvorak Symphony No. 9. Do you have questions or comments? You can get a hold of us on Twitter at www.comicspodcast or send us an email at www.comicspodcast@gmail.com.